And we've managed to get hold of these and do them in such a way that we could listen to Gladys Aylward speaking. So I'm going to say a little bit this morning, but I want really you to listen hard to Gladys Aylward. She is going to be talking about that verse that Aaron read out this morning, Malachi 3, verse 10. So listen up. The quality isn't fantastic, so we've typed out all the words. So as we go along, you can watch the words up on the screen, and then I'm just going to just say a few little words about it.
I want to read one verse. Now, the verse itself is quite long, but I feel that this is the verse which God has given to me for you. It's a verse which challenges me every time I read it and makes me go back and wonder whether I have done all I should. Have I given him all he asked? And I rededicate all over again from where I started. The verse is the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of the Old Testament book of Malachi. Now you'll find that this will not be a sermon. You've already been to your churches, I hope, and had your sermons. Shall we just listen as if God is speaking to us? Now, as I read this verse, I would like to remind you that my Bible is Chinese, and so, as it comes to you, it will come in a different wording, because I just turn it round from Chinese back into English. Chinese is very beautiful, you know. There's much, much more of it. And so sometimes the verses are quite long, where in your English Bible they're quite short. The 10th verse of the 3rd of Malachi. The great, over, and above all one, Jehovah, who controlleth the host, leans, saying, if you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe, that my family may be sustained, then you can prove me, and see if I will not open wide windows in heaven, pouring out blessings so many, you will never be able to use them all. The great, over, and above all one. This, in Chinese, is a very beautiful expression which we use to speak of our God. You just can't use the word God. A God to a Chinese is some idol sitting in a temple made of mud or wood or stone, or sticking on your kitchen wall on a piece of paper. Our God is over and above, not only all other gods, but over and above all. Everything. He is the greatest, the most powerful, the most wonderful, the great, over and above all one. Here, when you preach or you talk about your God too, you have to, according to Chinese custom, give, as you would to anybody of any standing, his status, his name, his office. English is very bare, you know. And so here we have the great, over and above all one, Jehovah. And what does he do? He controlleth the host. And I conclude that the hosts are those things which man cannot control. Man has gone a great length in science, but he still has to get to the moon. And then he hasn't controlled it. The sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the sea, he controls. You cannot rule the wind. You can try all you know, but it still blows the way it should. The sea still comes at that split second of the tide every time it rolls in. He controls. And And yet this great, over and above all one, Jehovah, who controlleth these hosts, leaves. The lovely little Chinese word here. I only wish you understood it, jiang, which means to lean out. And here he is, as it were, leaning out of heaven. And he's speaking, leans, saying, if you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe. And you're going to find that this is something very definite, to be put in a very definite place, for a very definite purpose. There are no perhapses with God, you know, no maybes, no later on. Those words are not in God's vocabulary. If you will bring into my storehouse, that is a definite place. And a storehouse is somewhere where you store something. You put, in those old days, those jars of pickles on the shelf for such time as Mother wanted to use them, and she reached them out at the appointed time. If you will bring, says God, into my storehouse, your completed tithe. And you will find, as I have found, that your completed tithe as mine is this. This is Gladys Ailes. The completed tithe. Master, all I possess, all I have, my head, my heart, my feet, my hands, that is me, my completed tithe. And when God asks us to do something, he doesn't ask for one hand or one foot or even one day. He asks for the complete you. If you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe, that my family may be sustained. And if you will look in the dictionary where I found this explanation, it says, this means to uphold, and as a nurse, a dying patient, as a mother, her baby. So it isn't money, is it? A dying patient has no need of your pound note. A tiny baby has no need of your half crown. A dying patient needs the upholding care of the nurse. A baby needs the comfort of the mother's arms. If you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe, that my family may be sustained, then you can prove. And you see what I'll do? I will open windows in heaven, and I will pour out blessings. And there'll be so many blessings you'll never be able to use them all. And the words here to describe this is an expression which in Chinese says, Wu Qu Ke Yong, which literally means the incoming tide of the sea, the ever-flowing of a fountain. Now, it doesn't matter what you do down at the seaside, the tide always comes, the water comes. You can put pipes and draw it off. You can take buckets and bucket it out. You can build breakwaters. But the water is still coming, and there's still as much. This is what God promises in blessing to you and me when we have put in a completed tithe. And so, friends, you and I have got to come down to realize that why we have not got a blessing, either in our own life, in our family, in our community, or in our nation, is simply because we have not fulfilled the condition that God made. Now, you can say, well, that's all right, Miss Aylward, but remember, this is law. Yes, it is law. Jesus said, I came not to do away with the law, but to finish it. And if you go back to the dictionary, you will find that to finish something is to add to it. The definition in the dictionary says, to finish a cake, you ice it. To finish a hat, you trim it. To finish a garment, you put on the buttons. So, if you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe, that my family may be fed and sustained and upheld and kept, I will open the windows of heaven for you. It won't cost you anything. I'm doing the blessings. I'm opening the windows of heaven. And you're going to say, well, I just don't know how to do that because I can't give up this or I can't do that. God isn't asking you to fulfill a law. He's asking you to find the love of Jesus Christ and pass it on to someone else. Tonight, in this testimony, I pray that you will realize that it is said for one purpose only, that it may help you in some way. It will comfort where you need it. It will challenge where you need it. It will urge where it is very needed. But most of all, we shall be willing to go away and give to God what we maybe have never given to him before, our completed self. We have most of us given just one part of ourselves, one piece of ourselves, or just a little bit of our time. Friend, God does not want your bits and pieces. God is not hard up. The silver and the gold is mine, the cattle and the thousand hills. He produced them. He made them. He creates them. He's not hard up. And so if you think that God is waiting for you to put your sixpence in, dear friend, he isn't. If you will bring yourself, I will open the windows of heaven. And may God speak to us, pour out a blessing on us, so that we can go out and bless someone else. I went to China exactly 36 years ago. I went as a girl in my 20s, and I really and truly believed that God told me to go. I was saved, not in my home, I'm terribly sorry to have to say, but after I'd left my home and gone up to work in London, and I was pulled into a church one night by a group of young people who were standing outside that church door, who had been saved during the previous weeks in some revival. And they were so happy, they thought they'd got everything in Jesus Christ, that they were determined everybody else was going to find him too. And I that night sat in that church, and for the first time in my life realized that Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, had died for Gladys Ellis. It shook me, it moved me, and it was going to alter my whole life. I went out, not realizing, of course, what had happened inside me, to rush home to the little place where I was living and throw myself on the bed. And I said, God, if you're real, oh, please prove yourself to me. And if you prove yourself to me tonight, I promise I will do anything you ask. I had no idea what he was going to ask. But all I can say is this, if I was to be put back tonight, to that very moment, I would do the same all over again. In that it has been just wonderful. We have a very wonderful God and a very marvelous Savior.
It's amazing, isn't it? Think that that little North London lady occasionally breaks into her North London accent. Had travelled over those mountains with all those children. It's an amazing story. It's a bit like the poppies. Joe, would you like to? Where is Joe? Ah, the lollipops are coming. You can measure my talk by the lollipop. My goal is to finish what I'm saying by the time the children have finished their lollipops, so we don't have a riot. But amazing, rather like those poppies that Miriam saw in the Tower of London. You know, that when you see it, you're just like a sea of red. And yet when you get down there, everyone is an individual person. And that's us, isn't it? Sometimes we think we're so insignificant and so unable, don't we? Well, what difference could my life make? Well, it only takes one life. And her life made a big difference. And it's the same for you and I. We're just one of those poppies, aren't we? Jesus' poppies in the great sea of his plan. I just want to make a few short points from this talk. First of all is, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is the Aylward translation. The great over and above all one who controls the hosts leans out of heaven. How amazing. You know, that God, our God that we worship, is over and above all. And he is leaning out of heaven. Isn't he? He's looking down on each of us. He's leaning out of heaven. He's got something to say in this verse. I think one of the problems with us is that we don't know who God is, and so we don't respect him. If you read the book of Malachi, the theme of the book of Malachi is that they disrespected God, and they didn't really know him, this great over and above all one who controls the hosts. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, just summarizes the way that God felt. He said, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, so what they were doing was, instead of giving God the good sheep and the good goats and the good pigeons or whatever it is, the sacrifices, they'd find a blind goat that they knew wasn't worth very much. And so they give God the casts off, the sick animals. God said, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? Isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor, he says, and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It would be like giving something like that to your teacher or to your boss. That's what this word is saying. See how pleased he would be if you gave him second best. Secondly, let me explain what this word tithe was. Anybody notice that word tithe as we went through? Does anybody, any of you children know what a tithe is? A tithe is a proportion of what somebody earns. In the Bible, a tithe was in the Old Testament, they used to have to give a tenth of everything they earned. In fact, actually, the children of Israel gave a lot more than a tenth. They gave a tenth and they gave offerings on top of that. And they had to do that. And there was a reason for that. If you will bring into my storehouse your completed 10%, that my family may be sustained. You see, God's work couldn't go on without that 10%. And this isn't a plea for money. And we've already had the offering, so you're safe. If you want to go on to the next picture, this is a picture of the camp of Israel at nighttime. Do you remember that it used to have that pillar of cloud during the day? And at night there was that pillar of fire that kept it warm and lit up during the night, and no doubt kept away some of the wild animals as well. And all around this this tent in the middle, this was God's tent. This was God's dwelling place. And all around is the camp of Israel. And this was the glory of God, like the Holy Spirit that was resting on that place. But you know, every single piece of furniture, all the stuff that was, that there's like tents all around the outside. See that square there? There was anointing oil. There was fragrant incense. Everything in there came from what the children of Israel gave. And there's a verse about this. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them. Have the people of Israel build me, and that's what that tent was, a holy sanctuary, that I can live among them. You see, God wants to live in the church. Anybody here sensed God's presence this morning? Maybe as they came in, maybe during the worship. Anybody, hands up? We had a sense of God. And God wants to live in his church and to bring to the world around a sense of his presence. And so he wanted them to build this sanctuary. But what he did was, he got there. He said, could you all bring your jewels and all the stuff you got, your gold, your silver, your precious stones? And they piled it all up, and there was more than enough. And it says here, accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved. So God doesn't want us to give our lives to him grudgingly, or because we have to. He wants to move upon our hearts so that we will freely give all our lives to him. Do you remember Gladys Aylward? She said, bring the complete tithe. And she wasn't talking about 10%. She said, God wants all our lives. He wants your life. He wants your time. He wants your money. He wants your clothes. He wants your friends. He wants your children. He wants everything in our lives. But he won't take them. We have to give them to him. This is the deal that God makes with his people. I was listening to a song, heard a song the other day, very beautiful song, probably somewhere in the charts, by a guy called John Legend. And it's called All of Me. And one of the lines in that song, it was, and I've been listening to it on YouTube, because to me it's been like a worship song. I give my all to you, and you give me all of you. I give my all to you, and you give your all to me. That's the deal in marriage. That's the deal with God. We give our all to him, and he gives his all to us. This verse here, it's the great over and above all one who controls the host leans out of heaven, and he's saying this, if, this is a promise to us, but it's a conditional promise. A conditional promise has got an if in front of it. If you will bring into my storehouse your completed tithe that my family may be sustained, then you can prove me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. How amazing. Pouring out blessings like the incoming tide of the sea. So many you will never be able to use them all. That sounds fantastic, doesn't it? That God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour such a blessing out upon us and through us that we would never be able to get to the end of it. But there's a little if that comes at the beginning. What is that if? Any of you children, tell me what was that if? If you do something. George.
Give your completed tithe.
If you give your completed tithe. Yes. That means if we give to God what he wants us to give, then he will open the windows of heaven. Like the incoming tide of the sea. This is this tent that they built for God. And in the middle of this tent, there was this thing here. It was an altar on which they burnt all their offerings. And it was called the altar of burnt offering. There were several offerings that they had to give. They had to give a sin offering, a guilt offering, a peace offering. But also, they had to give a burnt offering. And the significance of the burnt offering is that the whole animal, they get the sheep or whatever it was, and the whole thing, was dumped on the altar, and it all went to God. None of it went to the priest, none of it went to the people, all of it went to God. And it's a picture of what Gladys Aylward is telling us. When Jesus came to die for us, do you know, he gave us all of himself. He didn't hold back anything. In fact, he even shed his blood. He gave his life for us. The Bible says no one has greater love than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. And because Jesus gave all his life, God sent from heaven, he opened the windows of heaven, and that the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. I think we've got a picture here. Do you remember that day when the Spirit was poured out? Because Jesus gave his all, the Spirit was poured out. But more than that, these disciples have been there several days and they've been working out that they needed to give their lives to Jesus and to God. And so they were ready to be filled, and God opened the window and he poured out the Holy Spirit upon them. I've got a question. What do we want from God? What do we want from God? I had a preacher stay at my house many years ago, and he wanted to persuade me and Joe that we should have a second car, and that God wanted to bless us and give us a second car. But you know, we didn't want a second car. We were perfectly happy with the car that we got. But you know what I really do want? I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be poured out at New Life and on the churches around us and in this nation. That's what I want. And I don't want a Cadillac. You know, if we give God our money, he will give back to us. I'm sure of that. He'll look after us. He'll bless us. He'll provide for us. But most of all, he'll give us the Holy Spirit. Any of you children remember this man? Carroty Wood? Who was he? Anyone remember his name? Young man, give you a clue, he's Welsh. George, you're on the ball. You're on fire, bruv.
Evan Roberts.
Amazing. There he is. Well, his name's there, isn't it? But I'm giving you the credit for that, George. He said, this young man, he said, I have built the altar and laid the wood in order and prepared the offering. I have only to wait for the fire. You see, he had offered his life to God. He spent many hours in prayer. He was mourning the state of the church. And he said, God, you can have all of me. Could I have all of you? And he was convinced in his heart that God was going to give him 10,000 souls, 10,000 people. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on Wales, I think it was 1906. And there was an enormous revival. And in that 1 year, even in less than a year, 100,000 people became Christians. Because one man said, you can have all of me. And God poured out his Spirit. And this is what I want. There's in China today, it was in the newspapers, I think, on Friday in the Telegraph. And in the Financial Times, they were talking about how the Chinese authorities have a problem because so many people are becoming Christians. It's estimated there are at least in China now 100 million Christians. 100,000 got saved in Wales. There are 100 million Christians in China. 150 years ago, before Gladys Aylward and others went out there, there were hardly any. God is mighty. So, in conclusion, let's give a little bit of ourselves to Jesus today, shall we? We've got a fire, a log fire in our house, and you can put a lot of logs on the fire, and after a couple of hours, what happens to those logs? Yes. What happens to the logs? They get burnt, that's right. And they die out, and the fire goes down. So you have to continually put logs onto the fire. And we have to continually be offering our lives to God because we take our lives back and he wants our lives. I wonder how many people there are here today who have at some point in their lives have said, Jesus, you can have the whole of my life. Anybody here? I said it. Started to say it when I was about 17 years old. I wonder how many of us have taken that vow back and realized that actually, he hasn't got the whole of our lives. And so this morning is an opportunity to give a bit of our lives back to God today. What does he want from you? Does he want your time? Does he want your leisure? Does he want your maybe a bit of your computer game time? Does he want your money? Does he want your friendships? Does he want your family? Have you given up your children so that God could do whatever he wants with them? Have you got all your plans made up? What you're going to do, where you're going to live, when you're going to do it, your career? We need to give them all to Jesus. We're going to get a little help with our prayer now because I've arranged for Gladys Aylward to pray with us this morning. Okay? She's not here, but she does pray on this tape. So let's close our eyes for a moment. I think we can hear this. You can keep your eyes open if you want, but we're just going to pray. And as Phil just plays this clip of Gladys Aylward praying, pray with her in your heart.
As we pray, would you let God deal with you as he's had to deal with me? Friend, I have not done what I wanted to. I have not eaten what I wanted or worn what I would have chosen. I have not lived in a house that I would have ever looked at twice. I longed, as I've told you, for a husband and baby, and security and love, and he didn't give it. He left me alone for 17 years with one book, a Chinese Bible. That's how I know it. And no other. I don't know anything about your latest novels, pictures, theatres. I live in a rather
about a dated world? And I suppose you say, well, it's awful miserable, isn't it? Friend, I've been one of the happiest women that have ever stepped this earth. I've had a great family of someone else's children, who I've loved with a great love because Jesus Christ loved me, and who I am now receiving love back from. I have a wonderful family. And they are now going into the places that I will never go to. They are doing things that I can never do. Because that's what God promised. The heavens opening and the blessing tumbling out. Shall we pray? Dear Father, accept what we are now going to give to Thee. Something that is precious. Something that we've kept. But we're now going to hand over our pride, our jealousy, our self-centeredness, our prayerlessness, our silly little empty nothing, all the things we've got ourselves tied up in. Oh Lord, give us freedom. Freedom in Thee, that You might be able to pick us up and put us down and use us when and where and how You like, that someone might know how much You love
them. That someone might know how much He loves them. Father, this morning we thank You that You are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Elijah. You're the God of Moses, Lord. And You're the God of Gladys Aylward. And You are our God, Lord, and You have not changed. Father, we come to You this morning and we want to offer our lives afresh to You. Lord, we want all of You. Lord, would You take all of us? Would You help us, Lord, to offer our lives to You today? If it's our time You want, or our prayers, whatever it is, Lord, would You help us, Lord, to give it to You? Amen. Perhaps we could sing again that song we were singing earlier, the one that we learned that the children were singing. Do a work in my heart. There we are. Do a work in my heart. Let's stand, shall we? And if you are asking God to do this, one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible to me, it says that Jesus, by the Spirit, offered Himself to God. We need the Holy Spirit even to offer our lives to God. So if you want to offer your lives to God and you're finding it hard, put your hand on your heart as we sing this song and say, God, do a work in my heart.